Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We're on.
Okay. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Timothy.
Here we are in the rugby dungeon. JB in spotty yellow and black socks.
Sitting more comfortably than Kellyanne Conway in Donald Trump's office.
Phil, as you were described, we did a little pre-show Instagram live video, and Phil was described by, I'm going to get the name, Phil, but you were described as looking like Harry Potter on a protein, Harry Potter with protein. Hold on. Phil looks like Harry Potter discovered protein shakes, says Steve Visser.
I've never had Harry Potter before. I've got my glasses on today, which is a bit unusual.
That might be it.
Yep.
And I'm here in mustard chinos and an old school Bath jersey, because just like Phil, I was at the rec yesterday. That will come up in discussion along with everything else premiership wise. But anyway, let's get on with it. Hands in and pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We are here 52 weeks a year, not just because there's Six Nations on currently and Lions around the corner like some. Where are they going to be in a few months' time in the depths of summer when there's nothing to do but like sit around sun lounging around getting a suntan and no rugby on? We'll still be there for you, even Anglo-Welsh Cup weeks.
Exactly.
We love rugby and we're here for you all the time, and we thank you for listening. I'm Tim, that's JB. Hello, JB.
Hello, Tim. Sorry, I'm reading Facebook Live comments already.
No, you're all right. And that's Phil.
Hello, Tim.
What are people saying?
What's the... one guy's wearing a hoodie. That is it. That's it.
Good chat.
Yeah.
Take a moment and we thank you very much for leaving a review on iTunes. We don't ask for money from you, so...
Yeah, we do. Give us some money. I'll ask. If you're too shy, give me Tim's money as well.
But I'm going to ask you to take one moment of your time and go to iTunes and leave a review like Stephen Greeny did, who says he's listened from the very start. He says he listened through the very start. Always a high quality listen from Phil, Tim and JB. And then, how do you feel about this? He said, three Englishmen that even a Welshman can tolerate.
Well, I'll tell you something about Steve Greeny. Me and Phil have played rugby with him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right. Actually, someone that we know.
I'm not getting all insular with that then. Skinny Fullback says, this is an Ali Williams and James O'Connor high of rugby podcasts.
Very good.
Allstoff says, you'll anticipate the next episode like a crack fox after its next fix.
True, true.
If you've been searching for a pod that manages to mix customised foghorn remixes to suit any players, look no further. Completely agree. Well, we might not be talking about Big Ben Teo on this podcast.
Sadly not.
That will come on the midweek podcast, which is going to be focused on the Six Nations and international matters. But what we're going to talk about right now is the Avicii Premiership.
Wait there. There you go. Just turn that down a bit. It's very loud. There you go. Better, Tim?
Perfect, JB. The Avicii Premiership. We will be talking about a little bit of Pro 12 action as well. Super Rugby transfer rumour mill. And all kinds of other weird and wonderful stuff.
Quiz?
From the rugby universe. JB's prepared a quiz. Are we talking Nazi Springbok? Nazi war criminal or Springbok? Springbok or Nazi war criminal? Are we talking that sort of level or?
No, we're not.
No, okay.
No, we're not. It's based on something which happened this week.
It's important to manage expectations, so, but that's fine. That sounds good. But let's start with the game that's most recently in our memories and probably the most important game from the weekend. Worcester demolishing Bristol.
Yes.
In a relegation 10-pointer.
I thought it was a brilliant game. I mean, maybe the quality of the rugby wasn't brilliant, but the actual spectacle was brilliant.
In terms of, yeah, I completely agree with that. In terms of the importance and the significance of the game. But you say some of the quality wasn't brilliant. There were some good tries. Worcester scored some good tries.
They
played well, particularly Huard, who controlled the game. He not only controlled the game, but also added that kind of bit of magic and bit of sparkle.
Yeah, his individual performance was outstanding.
A little bit of magic. Three cheers for Francois Huard.
Exactly right. I completely agree with that. And Tom Vondel had possibly the worst game of any human I've ever seen. He was absolutely miserable.
Even when he scored his interception try, how much ground did Bryce Heem make up on him?
Yeah. He made up a good 10 yards over the 60-70 that he cruised in at.
I tell you what, Francois Huard embarrassed him today. Twice, actually. Once for a break. Did he... Who actually scored that in the end? He made a break.
Bryce Heem.
Yeah. And then once for his own try when he handed him off. I mean, Gaps. It just wasn't... I mean, everything he did just wasn't really good enough. He ran into touch maybe three times.
Well, the same goes for a lot of Bristol players. There are some guys that have a lot of pedigree. Tom Vondel, Jordan Crane. Just two that spring to mind that were dreadful.
Now, you're on Jordan Crane's case, and I think that's a bit unfair, actually.
He had a really poor game. He was treated like a ragdoll by Marco Mamma at times.
Yeah, but...
It's symptomatic of Bristol, I think. They were just out-muscled, out-gassed, just everything. Just Worcester on another level. Huard, I will pick him up for the fact he set a world record for the number of times anyone said the word tonight in his post-match chat.
Oh, I haven't heard
referring to an afternoon match. The boys did great tonight. One question that came in on Twitter, at Rugby Podcast, you can find us on Twitter, you can find us on Instagram, Egg Chasers Podcast as well. One question was from Steph Rees, where would Worcester be with Huard and Heem having been available all year?
Oh, a lot higher. I think Huard is amazing. He genuinely is an amazing player.
He did this last year, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've just said amazing three times. I'm going to say it four times now. It is amazing how much impact he has in such limited time with the Warriors.
Yeah, it really is. And he every time he comes in, so he comes in from whatever he's been doing, partying all around the world, it seems.
Slaying it everywhere he goes.
Yeah, killing it. And comes in and looks like an international, like a world beater.
Yeah, because it's not like he had a fly half. Now, Ryan Mills was definitely struggling today. I know the commentator said that he had strapping on his leg and someone else said that he's had it for 2 years. He was definitely struggling. And he's not a natural fly half. Very good player, mind. Just not a natural fly half.
Yeah.
I think a lot of... There's two things which I thought was really interesting about this game. Number one was how poor the Bristol line-out was about 5 metres out from the Worcester line. They should have had two or three tries. If their driving more was up to it, there should have been plenty of tries there. The second thing was their inability to do anything at the breakdown. And this made me think, I'll just expand on this a little bit more. They were giving Worcester 15, 20 phases on the ball at a time. They were really hard to stop. Now, part of that was Bristol not competing. I think the other part was the plastic pitch, because there's no mud, there's, a nice dry ball, professional players, good skills. It started to make me think that if these plastic pitches continue, I think the role of a traditional seven or someone who can actually turn over ball is going to become vital.
Yeah, because you're going to get far fewer opportunities to turn over the ball.
Yeah.
That is a very interesting point, actually.
I had a few observations whilst watching that game. One, did Albie Mathewson really play for the All Blacks?
Did he?
Yeah.
I thought he's Australian.
Sorry, not All Blacks. He was he's an international, though.
Yeah,
that's what I meant.
Wallabies.
Yeah, Wallaby International.
Yeah. I was going to say, wow, he played for both.
He is All Blacks.
No, he is All Black.
He's got four caps for the All Blacks.
Did he come for the Western Force then?
Yes, he did come. So he's. Yeah. I'm just looking him up.
There you go.
Yeah. Canes, Blues, Western Force. Four caps for New Zealand in 2010.
I should have more confidence in my convictions.
Yeah, good.
And also, Big Gav, same colour as his jersey, that sort of bronze gold colour.
I do not like those jerseys.
They're horrible.
They're awful, yeah.
I think they are the worst kit in the Avicii.
Really? Even worse than... Northampton don't still have their powder blue.
I like the powder
pajama kit.
They were more powder grey, weren't they? Grey blue.
Yeah, I don't mind the powder blue, powder grey wasn't my favourite.
No, Sales Illuminous yellow. Yeah,
maybe.
Oh, awful. Yeah. Sorry, no. I love the Illuminous sale kit.
One thing, because there's been some talk, again, I'm just going to have to look at this. This could be, there's been rumours about the whereabouts of Ian Madigan, and I know that Northampton were trying to pay him a fortune to go there. Sale were interested in Ian Madigan, apparently Bristol were as well. And someone just tweeted us going, Ian Madigan's definitely going to Bristol. Can that be? And regardless of that, these signings that Bristol have made, Stephen Luatua, for example, will they have a clause? Firstly, do we think that pretty much Bristol are down now? Five games to go.
No.
12-point gap, is it? Or 7-point gap, sorry.
7-point gap. 7-point gap.
Just to keep this into context, yes, they did get battered today. But Worcester are not exactly try-scoring machines. It's not as if they are likely to win the next five. I think Bristol have a good chance of winning a couple more, but it's a big ask.
It really is a big ask.
I mean, if Bristol win two and Worcester don't win at all, yeah, it's absolutely possible, but it's hard to say, isn't it?
Based on, so, of Bristol's last four games, they narrowly beat a very weakened Bath team, which was a good win and a very important win, but they've been hammered in the other three out of four games. So. Yeah. I can't see it.
Yeah,
personally.
I think the disappointing thing with Bristol is when they have a win or a good run, they just get troused
the week after. Yeah. They can't build on anything.
No, it's not like it's a close loss or they suddenly say, "Oh, yeah, that's great." And then they've got. I mean, the Alan Solomon's thing is weird. The continual. I tell you what, I've never known a squad scrap so hard to avoid relegation. And when I say scrap, I don't mean on the field. I mean with signings. I mean that club is doing everything it can to stay up.
Well, on the Madigan situation, so, like I say, Bristol and Northampton were both, and apparently Northampton had tabled £500,000 a year.
And for Madigan?
For Madigan. And, there is some evidence to suggest that Bristol have, he's agreed to join Pat Lam at Bristol next year. And I suppose the point is, are those players really going to go and play Championship rugby? And if they do, are they just taking cash and not caring about rugby?
No. Well, depends, doesn't it?
There have been some better players than those play Championship rugby.
And also, I
talk like, move to the Championship, though.
Well, maybe not move to
Ben
the Championship.
Franks?
Ben Franks was. He played the year before.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I think Mertens,
he missed most of the season.
Mertens
well.
And Spencer, for example.
Yeah, they came into a relegated Harlequins team, didn't they?
Mertens did. Spencer was Northampton.
Yeah, you're right.
We've just been tweeted by quite a reliable source saying Stephen Luatua doesn't have a release clause.
Yeah, so
they don't seem to.
Can I just say the answer to this is not purely cash. Cash is going to be a huge issue, as it always should be with professional sports. But you know, if there's a guy with the stature of Pat Lam willing to go down, and you're going to be part of what he's going to build coming back up, that's quite an exciting project.
Yeah,
for
but I don't think a guy like Stephen Luatua is there. For the long term, he's there for a couple of years, make a bit of money and then go back.
Well, in that case, it doesn't matter where he goes.
Well, no, exactly. Well, this is kind of my point, and I'm not begrudging earning money. I'm just kind of saying I don't know.
Well, Ian Madigan must have looked across from Leinster and watched the monster that Pat Lam was building in Connacht. I bet he's fairly excited to go there.
Yeah, Pat Lam is that is attractive, going to play under Pat Lam and having the opportunity for him to build a squad.
Yeah.
I do hear that. I guess what I'm saying is maybe our Bristol, again, if you look at some of the players that Bristol have spent their money on, I would argue that one of the reasons they may be in the position they're in is they've spent a lot of money on players who maybe have the promise of doing some special things, but don't have the mentality to go out and really graft for it. And are they signing
They're
more...
a very selfish team.
Well, are they signing more people who, are if you're there for the cash and in the back of your mind you're like, well, I'll go and play against Ealing Trail Finders and score five tries.
Yeah.
Are you signing the right kind of mentality of guy? And is that the right thing to do, to be signing like Stephen Luatua and Ian Madigan would be over £1 million for the Championship?
Let me just get this right. Are you saying that they shouldn't go because they're going for the wrong reasons? And if they are willing to go for the wrong reasons, you shouldn't want to sign them anyway?
A little bit. Yeah, I guess I am saying that. Yeah.
Wait and see.
I'm saying if Ian Madigan is willing to play in the Championship rather than the Premiership, I'd question whether that's wise money spent.
It's true by definition, though, isn't it? But yeah, I kind of get you what you're saying.
So I understand that argument. I would, looking at it from the other side, I'd be optimistic that, well, take the history thing out of it, because Pat Lam wasn't there when they were signing all the previous other players. But Pat Lam has got, certainly with Connacht, a very good track record of bringing in guys, not spending huge amounts of money, but bringing in the right kind of guys and building a team, a squad, who last season were outstanding and punched well above their weight. So you'd hope that he is selecting the right kind of players rather than the wrong kind of players, which is kind of your
But he didn't have the option to spend a load of money then, but he has got the option to spend a load of money now.
Yeah, and that could corrupt, of course.
Yeah. Power corrupts.
Yeah, so like nice shiny objects you can get.
Yeah.
Before you know it, you've got a team of Vondels.
Well, let's broaden this out then, and this ties in nicely with the fact that this week the RFU revealed that they're going to scrap the playoffs in the Championship. So, brief discussion, what do you make of that? And or what would you do if you were in charge?
So, scrapping the playoffs, from a personal perspective, I always quite enjoy watching the playoffs.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a man that's played in the Championship.
Yeah.
So have you, haven't you, Tim?
More national one. I was kind of not involved during the Championship.
Well, better than me.
I enjoy the spectacle of it, but then I don't have any dog in the fight. If I was the club going up, I would... or certainly one of the top teams, I would absolutely hate it, because it finishes early June, is it?
Yeah.
And you only then know how much money you're going to have for the next season. So from a spectacle point of view, and as a fan of the Avicii Premiership, I think it probably is the right thing to take it out of the equation.
Can I just say, I'm going to expand on your point and add, I think it is not just one of the best games, maybe the best game of the year.
Well, because they play home and away, don't they? The final.
Yeah. It's phenomenal.
On a Wednesday night, it's so exciting.
Which is a shame, really, because, like, you know, for your average rugby fan, I suppose we're a little bit above average rugby fans, and we still don't watch the Championship. So by taking away that showcase of the Championship, you're going to get a lot less coverage. But I think it does need to go, unless they shrink the Championship dramatically.
And it's 2 years ago, I'll say it was one of the best games I've ever watched.
When Worcester-Bristol...
The comeback from Worcester.
Yeah, but what... You know,
that was a magnificent game.
But the year before that was even better in some ways, because Cornish Pirates took apart... Was it Bristol? And then they lost to London Welsh.
Oh, yeah.
And then London Welsh came up beating Bristol.
Yeah.
So you've had like 4 years' worth of upsets.
Yeah.
It's a great, great end to the season.
I think Bristol are the happiest out of all of this. Not just because they're going down, but just because they really, really struggled to come back up.
Yeah.
Well, I think what's changed in the Championship is that a lot of teams that were aspiring for big things and Premiership potentially, clubs like Nottingham and...
Like Doncaster.
Doncaster are doing all right. Rotherham were kind of a lot higher. They've had to cut their cloth accordingly, and they're not really what you would class as full-time professional rugby operations. And I think for the first time, with the clubs that we've got now and London Irish in the Championship, I actually am sold on ring fencing now. However, I think... Now, my hometown club was Newbury, and when I was in that club, I was coming through at a really good time.
Now,
we were advancing through the leagues.
Did you play under Stephen Ryan? Ben Ryan.
I might not have mentioned it, but yes, I did.
Okay.
Also under some former Wales coaches as well. Anyway, doesn't matter. So Newbury was advancing through the leagues. So they're not there now, but there are clubs around the country that I think need to have that carrot, that maybe, and the people that back them all the time and the benefactors of the club that put their own money in, there needs to be that potential that one day they could be a Premiership club. So,
well, I quite like the rugby league idea, which is if your facilities are right and, you know, so on and so forth, you can win a franchise. I like that idea. But can I float another idea, which is going to be a little bit controversial? Is there any need for a national league structure below the Championship? Because that's kind of what powers all this, you know, quote-unquote professionalism, which is, say when Phil or yourself were playing at a high level, you say, oh, well, I need to be paid because I'm going to go up and down the country each and every week. I just don't see it being a necessary thing to do. In fact, if anything, it's a huge drain on on resources because you've got to get boys in the bus.
I hear that, and it's below National 1. They then split to North, South, and then North.
So you've got Championship, haven't you? National 1. National 1. Do you have National 2?
Two
National
North,
2,
two
South. North and South.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's still a bit of travelling involved. So hear what you're saying there. So I would like to say 14 teams, scrap Anglo-Welsh.
Mm. B&I.
You take Yorkshire or Cornish Pirates, whichever proves themselves as being the most worthy, and London Irish. You then have ring-fenced competition. But with the carrot that you say, if you can get yourselves to the required level and you can show that you've got a support base and that you've got the financial stability and you've got a players in, you're playing at a certain standard, then regardless of where you are in the Championship or whatever, Cornish Pirates or London Scottish or Nottingham or anyone could become a Premiership team and maybe expand to 16 teams one day.
Well, I think that is more likely. You get 16 teams and you maybe have two conferences or something.
Two conferences like of eight, which would be 14 games. And then, who knows, maybe the top four play each other home and away. That would be another six games.
Yeah.
And then, who knows?
It's definitely worth looking at. I'd add the other thing to this is a lot of Championship teams simply do not want to be in the Premiership. Mm. I think Leeds do. I think Bristol do. Anyone else have got any other teams that want to go up? Because I don't think many do.
No.
Doncaster, I think, do have ambitions of doing it, but I'm not sure how realistic.
But there's more examples of clubs that have tried and then have fallen away badly.
London Welsh.
Every team I played for seemed to do that. Newbury, that happened. Manchester.
Manchester.
Oh, that happened. Money's a curse.
Oral. Rotherham now, Richmond.
Yeah. Plymouth Albion got very close.
Yeah.
Money in the Championship and below is an absolute curse. I think there's a really strong argument to almost enforce amateurism on the below the Championship.
Yeah, you could do something like that.
That's up to clubs to run their own affairs, isn't it?
It is really. Mm. Just on the team, so I am all for the 14-team system. Obviously, you have to make it fit probably within a global season, what will happen in the next few years. The 14 teams is a little bit of a conundrum, though, because you've got 14 academies, which is the Premiership clubs, London Irish and Yorkshire Carnegie are all the academies. But Yorkshire Carnegie, they don't really have a fan base. It's rugby league and football territory. And
let's make it 13 teams then, in just London Irish.
You could, and everyone has
one team has a rest week,
which I don't think is a bad idea. I think they'd love it actually having a rest week. The fans wouldn't, but the teams would.
You've got this very good academy. Lots of players have come out of the Leeds academy, so you've got a decent academy. You've just not got the support for it to actually.
But then, if you have that as a criteria, should Sale be in the Premiership?
Well, Sale get more fans than.
They did get more fans in Yorkshire. I was being flippant.
Sale's academy is actually not particularly good.
Headingley is a great place to go and watch live sport.
I've never been.
Have you never been to
Rugby League?
Rugby league, brilliant. Cricket, but you're right in the centre of Headingley, which is a great, like a student town, but great fun town, loads of bars. You can do the Otley Run.
Well, why don't you go to Headingley soon?
We could do. Yeah, ask Danny Cipriani what he thinks of Headingley.
You can't remember, mate. What was he?
So I think we've talked about that. Tell us what you think at Rugby Podcast, and we can, because I'm sure this will be a conversation that will run for a while. The one thing you would say is, if and when ring fencing of some kind does come into play, which it
has to come in,
it probably will. It's probably more inevitable. I don't know. There are pros and cons. One of the cons is, would anyone have cared about Worcester Bristol?
It depends. Yeah. I mean,
what do you mean it depends? No.
Yeah. Well, it does depend.
Bottom two.
Really?
Yeah, because there is something to be said for today's game is brilliant, and the names on
brilliant
show
because of what was on it.
Exactly. I don't disagree with that, but there is also a case to be made that seeing the young lads come through and be given the end of the season to prove themselves would probably be more valuable not only to those clubs in the long term but also the national team.
Oh no, completely.
Yeah,
completely
that,
agree
that
with
stuff
that.
Stuff can benefit.
Completely agree. Yeah. It would be the best decision for the England team. But what I'm saying is, as a spectacle, who would
It's like going to watch Dragons v Treviso.
Fair point.
Yeah. Just one thing. Just you mentioned Luatua obviously signing for Bristol. Did either of you see his red card this weekend?
Oh, ridiculous.
Which way ridiculous?
Oh, I've heard about it, but I've not seen it.
He's got 4 weeks for that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Mm.
Do you think that's ridiculous?
No, it's definitely a ban. Yeah.
It is definitely a bad. It's just stupidity.
Stupid,
it was
yeah.
an off the ball. It wasn't the hardest contact, but it was an off the ball swinging arm headshot.
Mm.
So yeah.
Really
it's
stupid.
Just stupid. Yeah, stupid. Just really stupid.
So hold on, we've ticked that off. So yeah, we know while you talk about that, people getting in trouble and reaction to it. Did you see Murad Boujalal reacting to Ali Williams and James O'Connor?
Yes, that was an interesting reaction, wasn't it?
It was. So hold on, are we talking about the same reaction?
I'm talking about his reaction to say that there is an endemic of cocaine use in rugby.
Oh yeah, didn't he also compliment Ali Williams on his negotiating
yeah,
skills?
Yeah.
having heard the price that he paid.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
He basically said we're not going to extend James O'Connor's contract, but we will look after him during this season,
wow.
kind of thing.
Well, okay. So why don't we build on this? Because I've got a paragraph here. It's a little opener for you, and it's a quick question. And it kind of is linked to this. So this week there was a disciplinary. I'm not going to give you the name, but who said this? Mr. Somebody referred to himself. This is in his defence, in his disciplinary. Mr. Somebody referred to himself as a pillar of the community, a chief cook, and a bottle washer. His club is based in a poor area demographically. He's been responsible for creating 25 jobs.
Steve Diamond on his charges with the RFU.
Correct. Now, do you want to do
a cook and a what? A bottle washer.
So if you want, boys, we could actually lead into my quiz now because it
Go
is...
On.
Okay, so...
You chuck it on your brother and you chuck it on your sister. You chuck it on that one and you chuck it on me. Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do?
So,
I can't believe the amount of prep the JV's put into this podcast.
So, yeah, we're gonna stay with disciplinaries. So, it's gonna be a basic quiz all about naughty, naughty boys.
Okay.
So, let's go with the first question, shall we? Tom Arscott was sacked by Sale, but prior to being sacked by Sale, who was the last team? What the last team and the last player to get fired by a team in the Premiership?
Ooh, can I
fired?
Yeah.
Oh, do you want us to write these down, or do you want us to?
Yeah.
Okay. Write them down if you want.
Let me get up a little document.
So the last player before Tom Arscott to get fired in the Premiership.
Okay.
Wow.
There might be some academy lads or something. I mean, there undoubtedly are, but this is a first teamer.
In the Premiership.
In the Premiership, yeah.
All right.
Oh, I can't remember his name.
So I've been reading
Can I get half a point if I tell you who he is?
Yeah, you can. I've been reading a lot of the disciplinary PDFs. They're actually quite a good read. And I found this one. So which player was accused of doing the following? Okay, so this is a statement from one of the witnesses / victims. Mr. Hampson, open brackets, who attended the game with his young son, told the committee that the player seemed very agitated and was shouting in an intimidating and threatening manner and used the words, F off. I'll effing come down there and sort you out. F off. Come on then. F off. He also gave an obscene hand gesture after signing photographs for kids.
Wow.
Anyone got any idea who that is?
So, go say it again.
Okay, so Mr. Hampson, open brackets. By the way, I've opened the brackets myself. This is something which I've added. Who attended the game with his young son.
Okay.
Told the committee the player seemed very agitated and was shouting in an intimidating and threatening manner. Use the words F off. I'll effing come down there and sort you out. F off. Come on then. F off. Oh, sorry. Come on then. Come on then. F off.
Off.
So, come on then. Come on then. Go away. Any ideas?
I'm going to put a name down, but.
Very, fairly recent big game.
Player.
Hmm.
Okay.
All right. Brendan Venter. got a 14-week ban for making inappropriate gestures and comments to Leicester fans in 2010. The RFU also censured him for disdain, for which two things whilst he awaited his sentence. One, eating biscuits. Two, throwing sweet papers. Three, reading the paper.
What? Wait, they're the three options.
While he was waiting to be sentenced.
Yeah, yeah. And he was censured for disdain. By the way, he later described the disciplinary process as run by people from prep school.
So he did two of those three things.
Did two of those
so
things.
So which one didn't he do?
Correct.
Right. Okay.
What was the first one?
Eating biscuits.
Yeah.
Throwing sweet papers. That's so petulant, isn't it?
Love it. All right.
All right. You'll love this one, Tim. Which is the highest number? The amount of NRL players caught simulating sex acts with dogs or the amount of rugby union lifetime bans?
Oh, dear.
So I want a number for both.
You want a number for both?
Yeah, I want a number for both. Lifetime bans and NRL players caught simulating sex acts with dogs. And the last question.
Okay.
Why did 19 players from Penygraig get banned?
19 players?
19 players from the same team got banned from a club called Penygraig.
Okay. These are all total guesses.
Are they really? Yeah. I thought you'd get some of them.
The first one I think I've got.
What have you got written down?
All right. So, for the number one.
Yeah.
Tim, can I have your answer, please?
Fired. You see, I know there was players that have been suspended, and I thought, I wonder if it... But so I went with the Bath cocaine gate thing of... And then, but I, so I just wrote down Matt Stevens, Alex Crockett, Michael Lickman. I couldn't remember which, if any.
Okay.
So I remember that, but there was more recent. There was a Northampton hooker, South African hooker. I'm sure his name was Sharman. Someone Sharman.
There was a hooker who got fired.
For tweeting when Mo Farah won Olympic gold.
He said it was stupid, didn't he?
He tweeted something like, "Congratulations, Mo Farah, winning gold for Pakistan." Which is like
the most stupid,
offensive.
What? I've remembered it now. It's the lad from Gloucester in the toilet changing rooms.
No, it's not.
No.
No, it's not, although I have been looking for
Kieran Britton.
No,
Corey Britton.
Spelled K-O-R-E-E. I'll tell you who it is. Tim? Phil? It's actually Alafoti Farsalivia, who was fired by Bath for knocking out a student.
Oh, yeah.
Start the season.
But they didn't fire Carl Ferns for knocking out Gavin Henson.
Completely different.
It's justified.
Completely different. All right. So, next one. Who was the player that told the man and his son to F off numerous times and acted aggressively, apparently?
I didn't have a clue. I just guessed Mike Brown. Only because of the I love Mike Brown, but only because of the reputation he has as an angry.
I can confirm.
I genuinely didn't know, so I just put Jim Hamilton.
Can't believe you don't remember. Jim Hamilton would never do that.
Maybe a few years ago he might have done.
No, he wouldn't. Yeah. He's a good egg.
Mike Brown's a good egg.
Yeah. This guy maybe not quite such a good egg. Of course, it was Dylan Armitage.
Was it?
Yeah, do you remember this?
Oh,
the Leicester game.
I do. The hand gesture, I remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, boys. So, which of the following did Brendan Venter not do?
I said eating biscuits.
I also said eating biscuits.
Wow. You both are. The only thing he didn't do is read the paper.
So he was in his hearing eating biscuits
sweets. When they're sentencing him, he's throwing sweets in the bin and eating biscuits.
Wow.
Now, that is culture. All right. What's higher, the amount of NRL players caught simulating sex acts with dogs, or the amount of rugby union lifetime bans?
lifetime bans, which I put at, I guessed at 4.
So, I guess this is actually, well, not a trick question, but... So, I remember the Argentinian player who kicked another player in the head.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was kicking a penalty
now,
goal.
Can I just say, this is only like professional level.
Oh, right.
So like, I, you know...
Oh, okay. Well, that's a bit different.
No, sorry. Or like top level.
I'll say more sex acts with dogs and there's been no lifetime bans of players at top level, at the elite level.
Well, so that Argentinian player, I seem to remember he got a 99-year ban.
Ah, not lifetime. Doesn't
which
count.
Is, which isn't lifetime.
No,
yeah,
it's not.
So I also had...
Well, the advances in medical science these days.
Exactly.
Every cloud, eh?
Yeah. when he's 126, he'll come back and start playing.
So I'm going to say, Tim, your first answer was correct. There were four.
There's, oh, were there?
There's been 4 lifetime bans.
Okay, well, I'll stick with my first answer.
Phil, of course. Now, here's the interesting thing. So there have been 2 sex acts with dogs.
Yeah.
Two.
So
two.
I had 2 written down on my sex acts with dogs.
There you go. Have a point each. Let me just read you some details. So this is from I think Fox Australia. I can't remember anyway. The footage showed a female rejected Pierce's advance and attempt to kiss, saying, "I'm a lesbian," before the Roosters captain turned his attention to a dog. Pierce is then seen picking up the dog and simulating a sex act. She then accused the 26-year-old of urinating on himself on the couch.
Well, that's just bubbling.
Would that be classed as bubbling?
It happens all the time.
Okay, so that was Roosters captain Mitchell Pierce. Pierce Mitchell, whichever.
And there's the other one, Monaghan.
Joel Monaghan. This came from his colleague. Joel wants to make clear he was only playing a prank on an absent teammate by simulating the act. No words of explanation can be offered because none can be appropriate. So just to expand a little,
have you seen the picture of that?
Yes, I have.
It is ridiculous, and if not a little risky as well.
A little risky, yeah. It doesn't. If it's a dangerous breed in particular. Just a quick one for you boys. Lifetime bans. There are 4 lifetime bans. How many people have received them?
three.
Is... Hang on, let me go and get my correct thing.
Yes.
Correct.
So one has had a double lifetime...
Who got the double lifetime ban?
A guy called Chris Jones, and I've got to give credit to Simon... Oh, I can't remember his name now. Simon from Western... Wales Online.
Oh, yeah.
So, apologies for not remembering his surname. He's done a really good 50 players that have got banned. So, yeah, Chris Jones has had 2 lifetime bans.
So this is not the former England locks / back row who played
for
Sale. No,
this guy is actually a reformed Christian that found God in a jail cell and is now a coach. The other one is Michael Palmy, who apparently gouged his way from Toulouse to Paris. And the other one is Trevor Brennan. But actually, that doesn't count because he had a lifetime ban, which is then rescinded to 5 years.
He featured in one of our very, very earliest podcasts in Hard Nut 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Psychopath 15.
And last one, why did 19 players from Penygrae get banned?
I said an initiation that got out of control.
Something did get out of control.
I had a fake tan overdose.
And it could... Well, none of you get the point. It did get out of control. And judging by some of their players, there was an overdose. It was steroid abuse.
Yeah, that was my real answer.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, is there a winner in this? Or is rugby the winner?
I think...
Rugby's the loser?
Rugby... law keeping is the winner.
Yes.
Absolutely right.
Safeguarding rugby is the winner.
Yes.
Oh, that's so loud. I don't like that. I'm not going to use
that. That's quite all right. I just want to just let anyone know, anyone who's coming to Romania for our live podcast in a couple of weeks, just want to reassure them there will be no bubbling.
Well,
there'll be no steroid abuse.
You can't guarantee that.
There'll be no cocaine.
Yeah.
There'll be no sex acts with dogs.
What are we going to do then? What is the agenda if that's what we're not doing?
We're going to eat biscuits and show disdain. an exciting development, though, because obviously we've talked in previous podcasts that World Rugby have heard about what we're up to in Romania, going out and how many, well over 100 Egg Chasers listeners are coming out and we're doing a live show. We're going to go to Romania v Georgia for part of the European Rugby Nations Cup, which we'll talk about in our midweek podcast. But also a tweet came in earlier this evening, gents, from Raging Bull. So I wonder if it's from Phil Vickery himself.
Probably.
The man behind it. He says, good on you guys going out to Romania. So they've heard about it as well. And they said, we'd love to send you off in style with some new kit.
Offs.
Hashtag big fans. Hashtag new look for JB.
Oh, what's wrong, Milo?
Well, I was thinking, well...
That is exciting.
I was thinking, that's really nice of them, but we don't really want a kit.
I want a kit.
I've just gone on. I knew that they did kit, but they do like leisure wear
stuff. They're in like House of Fraser and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all up for getting kitted out. If they want to kit me out and give me a new... Can I look like Phil Vickery?
Yeah, exactly. I was just saying. I could see you, Phil Vickery. Some of the pictures...
How do they make his shoulders expand like that? is that the cut of the cloth? Or?
There's some pictures that look like he should be straight off of a lodge doing a little bit of pheasant shooting or clay pigeon shooting or something. Wax jacket.
Perfect.
Tweed.
I've never shot a pheasant in my life.
What's that crisscross shirt thing called? What's that called?
A gingham.
Not plaid. Gingham.
Gingham, yeah.
Gingham shirt, chinos. What do you reckon?
Superb. I'm all for it.
Yeah. I'm all of those things I'm very much for.
Well, I had no idea you did leisure wear as well as team wear. So, Raging Bull, we will be in touch. I wonder if we could get some like prizes and stuff out in Romania too.
Almost certainly.
Put it on my to-do list and report back.
Excellent.
Let's get back to Avicii Matters. What should we talk about?
Should we talk about our day out?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, bottom of the table to the top.
Yeah. So Canterbury. Well, you were there in a working capacity with BT,
yes.
Tim. I was there on a bit of a jolly. Canterbury sorted us out some tickets. Which should we talk about first? Should I have a little bit on my day out?
Oh, go on then, Phil.
Very nice. I love Bath.
Best city to watch sport, isn't it? Maybe in the world. It's up there.
It's so good. So me and friend of the pod, Harry, travelled down on the Saturday morning. We were booked into the Queensbury Hotel for lunch.
Oh, makes me sick.
We had a tremendous lunch there in the restaurant. Really good. Well looked after. Nice bottle of wine. Strolled down through the town, strolled into the ground. We only got there just before kickoff, actually. And I was very optimistic to see a really high quality game of rugby between two top attacking sides. And I saw one top attacking side, and I also saw Bath, who had they performed dreadfully. Tim, what did you make of this? Being touch side,
They were awful, tactically. Bath were dominated, and they got away only losing by 18 points. I feel.
Yeah, I think you are right. They were lucky to score 3 points at home, and only lose by.
That is only their second defeat at home in a year.
Is that right?
In the Premiership, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch this game in as much detail as you two because I wasn't there. But also, I thought I may as well focus on other games. One of the things which struck me was the complete mismatch of the wingers. I thought Watson was completely outplayed by Wade. Although, you know, yeah, Bath did get badly beaten. I thought Hastings had some nice little moments.
So that's interesting. So if you only watch the highlight reel,
yeah,
he had a couple of nice little moments. The break and the offload for the Denton failure to score, which he's now done twice in a row, by the way. Denton should have scored that.
Just do what Kirtley Beale did on one of his tries. Slide in.
Yeah.
Why take the chance? Touch.
Yeah, he started sliding the last 2 feet after he'd crossed the whitewash.
Yeah.
Get in ASAP.
But so Hastings, he did have a couple of nice touches. He did not have a good game at all.
Did he not?
And it was a bad
game. So part of this was... So his handling wasn't great and there was a few knock-ons. But I'm really curious about this.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To get your perspective, Tim. So it seemed the Bath's tactic was to kick everything. And that, to me, strikes me as a very bad tactic because Wasps, their back three, are magnificent. Christian Wade, Kirtley Beale and Willie LaRue are the last people you want to be kicking to.
Maybe in the world.
Yeah. And so it was a very bad tactic. And not only was it a bad tactic, it was executed dreadfully. So the kicks were just going straight down their throats rather than finding grass, finding touch, and just allowing them to either run it back, which they did repeatedly, or kick it back, which obviously Gopeth, when he drops back, Kirtley Beale and Willie LaRue are all outstanding at kick return. So that battle, which Bath tried to take Wasps on at up front, just... they were so thoroughly beaten.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
I had the benefit of, while I was watching, I had the earpiece in and I could hear the commentary. And at one point, 20 minutes into the game, one of the Bath coaching staff came on and they said, you know, what's going on with the kicking tactic? And he said, well, our tactic was, we know that Wasps score the majority of their tries from about halfway. So we wanted to try and pin them right back. It's not working. And the problem was, and if I just want to maybe give extra credit to Willie LaRue rather than all Benny Tapps and Adam Hastings were doing all the kicking, and it did look really aimless. But what was amazing when you got that wide view that you don't sometimes get when you watch the telly is the Willie LaRue's reading of the game is incredible. So the speed at which he just reads the body language of Adam Hastings or Ben Tapawai and belts back 40 yards. So it looks like they're kicking right at him, but actually it's Willie LaRue being so good at reading it and repositioning himself that by the time the ball gets there, he takes it comfortably.
Well, as Chris Pennell will tell you, is changing the picture. Mm. Give them one look, and by the time they've looked up again, you're bolting back or go deep and come shallow. Yeah.
So, but you're right. It was a tactic. They were trying to pin Wasps into their own half. Bath never got into Wasps' half. And they were thoroughly beaten, and Wasps look a force, especially when you look at the guys they've got to come back in. That said, the one thing you do say for Bath is they are missing a whole team's worth.
Yes.
If you made a team up of the players Bath are missing, it would probably beat the team that Bath put out on the field.
Well, they did have a few people back, though. Bringing Watson back is big. Bringing Faletau back is massive.
Yeah.
And Charteris. Faletau was one of the few players who actually came out of this well from a Bath perspective, I felt. Because not many others did very much at all. And one of our favourite kind of petulant, petty players...
Oh, Chris Cook!
Chris Cook gave... So it was... the scores were relatively close at this stage. It was still one or two scores in it. But Gopeth puts a bomb up. Rocco Degouni's under it. But Chris Cook just deliberately blocks Ashley Johnson, who's coming to tackle him.
Ugh.
And gives away a penalty, 3 points.
It's so Chris Cook, isn't it?
It was such a...
classic Chris Cook.
Such a both stupid and incredibly petulant at the same time.
Stacks up?
Yeah.
After the game, Dai Young gave a lot of credit to Lee Blackett, the attack coach, when it was pointed out that, you know, your forwards have got great, great ball skills. And look at the break Tommy Taylor made.
Tommy Taylor was quality.
I'm calling it. Let's get Tommy Taylor in the Lions squad.
Wow.
Whoa.
I'm actually No. You know this Tommy Taylor love isn't one that I'm not just a Johnny come lately. When he wasn't even first choice.
You groomed him.
when he wasn't even first choice at Sale and I was the match announcer at Sale, whenever he'd come on as like a 19, 20 year old for his 15, 20 minutes, I was just always thought he's a superstar. So I've been a big fan of Tommy Taylor's. I think he could be better than Jamie George and England's best hooker.
He was outstanding.
And therefore, the best hooker in the British Isles.
Well, it is a problem position as well.
He's not as good as Jamie George, I don't think, yet. But hey, he's rapidly improving.
Watching him warm up, though, sort of walked past him when he was doing his line out throwing. Now I know this can happen, where when you have your socks pulled up and the mud cakes on it, and then you pull your socks down, it can effectively wax your legs, can't it? But Tommy, there's no hair on his legs.
Yeah, I've literally got the same thing on like the back of my calf. I've got no hair.
That's why, when the mud cakes onto your socks and then you pull your socks down,
I've wondered about that for years.
It takes your hair away.
There you go.
Anyway, so,
thanks for that, Tim.
Hey, no worries.
It's like a beauty treatment.
You just saved the NHS thousands of pounds in investigative. Teachers.
So, Wasps' forward skill set is amazing. Tommy Taylor for the Lions. Alex Reader was brilliantly. One more observation is that dead ball area at one end, the end that Bruce Craig and all the boxes are.
Yeah.
They need to get James Dyson to stump up for some like proper airblade technology to dry that, because it is an absolute bog. So, or they just need to develop the ground, which I know they're trying to do.
Mm.
But no, I mean, Wasps looking outstanding. Kirtley Beale. There's talk that in the next week he's going to tie up his future. It's either Australia, which Michael Checker is desperate to do.
Yeah.
But he does qualify to still play for Australia on that law that they brought in, about 60 caps, was it?
Yeah. Gitto's law or whatever it's called.
Yeah. Which they just break anyway for whoever they want.
Just a quick one. I mentioned there's not been a team as desperate as Bristol with their signings this year. Do you think Bath are desperate? Because it is unusual for a team in the top four to make so many signings. They've brought in Allison. What's his name? The scrum off, Allison.
Allinson. He's only a backup because there's rumours surrounding Danny Kerr.
Yeah, but they have done it, and they signed someone else on the same day. They've bought that Morphew in. They've bought in Benny Tapps mid season. They've bought in Robbie Frew in mid season. They've bought in Aled Brew.
Yeah,
you know. And like,
have you seen their injury list though?
Yeah.
I mean, that could well be it.
And it's also, so Blackadder only came in partway through pre-season, didn't he? So he never really had time to put his stamp on the squad prior to the season starting. So he's probably making changes that he would have liked to make earlier.
Yeah, I think a bunch of these are injury jokers, because you get extra money for your salary cap.
Judging by the game, quite a lot of them are jokers.
but I did speak to some Alakadoos on the train, some Wasps guys in Wasp blazers on the way back.
Nice.
Some fine gentlemen.
Sorry, I've got to interrupt you. Sale versus Northampton. The Northampton fans have their own tweed. It's yellow and blue, yellow and green. It's spectacular.
Oh, amazing.
Sorry, carry on with your story.
No. So this chap,
they've got incredible shoes as well.
Mm.
Love it. Oh, Churches, I bet.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So there was a couple of Alakadoos on the train going back towards going home after the Wasps game, and one of them used to, I'm sorry to the gentleman, I forget, but he played for Wasps in the 70s and 80s, and he said that he just had a look on his face. He went, Kirtley Beale this week, it's all sorted, it's all tied up. And there was a little glint in Dai Young's eye when he was asked about Kirtley Beale after the game that just made me feel he's staying.
Wow.
So I've got no substance to that. There's no insider knowledge. It's just, it looks to me like Kirtley Beale is staying.
Shall we recklessly speculate and just say, like, you know, when he was in Australia, he has bounced around franchises a little bit. He's been, he started at the Waratahs, went over to, was it the Force he went to? Or the Rebels?
Rebels he went to,
Rebels,
yeah.
He's come back. He's always seems to be involved in some kind of bother there. I wonder if he just quite likes the change, a little less spotlights. There might be something to that. And I know they've put their best and final offer out there.
Yeah.
So we will see.
Popping bottles with Danny Cipriani and Christian Wade.
Doesn't get much better than that, does it?
It's probably pretty good.
Hanging out with Hask.
Yeah.
Answer, lads.
I mean, it could be, you could be popping bottles with sippers, but you could be pouring bottles all over your shoes if you were down there with Jonathan Joseph.
Jonathan Joseph.
Exactly.
On the rumours, I mentioned Danny Kerr to Bath. That's doing the rounds. If that happens, good move, bad move. Because the other one is Mike Brown to Exeter.
So, take them one at a time first. So, Danny Kerr to Bath. It's not a bad move, but is Foto Ali going somewhere?
Yeah, because he's excellent.
Foto Ali is brilliant.
They missed him more than anyone.
Yeah, they really missed him. And how good a strategy is it to have both of your halfbacks missing for international periods.
Exactly why I don't think it's worth Quinn's paying top dollar for those two guys. As brilliant as they
not
are.
Not if they're not dominating. Well, mind you, you can have one top guy. Just need to make sure that your backup isn't awful.
Well, I think.
I mean, not saying the backup is awful, but other clubs manage to lose internationals. Harlequins do it terribly. Having said that, we'll get on to their game later.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of Danny Kerr to Bath. It just doesn't seem... No, it doesn't seem like the right move. As for Mike Brown to Exeter, I mean, I haven't liked many of Exeter signings until they put on the Exeter kit, and it's very clear that Rob Baxter knows a lot more about rugby than me. So if Rob Baxter wants Mike Brown, I guarantee you it'll be a good signing.
Yeah. And it does feel like they have got... Well, they've got Dollars, who is brilliant, and he fits in so well at Exeter. And then you go to either Lockie Turner or Noel, who can fill in there.
Has Whitten gone to fullback? No, Wing has been playing.
Yeah, they can fill in there, but they're probably not as good. Whereas Mike Brown is probably a better fullback than Dollars. And then if Mike Brown is away with England, you have Dollars as a backup who is outstanding. So it's just that really strengthens their position, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, interesting. I think it's more interesting for Quinns and the players than the teams that these players are going to.
Well, yeah, because Quinns have been the team, as we've talked about many times over the past years, that their money has... Conor O'Shea was always very, very proud and used to wave a big flag going, look how many internationals we've produced out of our academy and that are in our squad. And they wore that as a real badge of honour. And rightly so, for the national team that worked for Quinns, that worked that year. They won the Premiership.
Yeah.
Other than that, it really became a hindrance when so many players were taken away from their team.
It's exactly the point that we're kind of making with these guys. So it's great having all those players, providing the drop off is not enormous when they're missing, because it's all about the squad.
Yeah.
And you lose those players, and if you've got this big drop off, then you're just going to be like bouncing around all over.
But that said, and going back round full circle to the ring fencing, what Conor O'Shea and the Harlequins Academy, let's not give him all the credit, everyone involved in that Harlequins organisation, England owe them a massive debt of gratitude for the players that they've produced. And we're seeing Kyle Sinclair come through now, and then players like Joe Marchant coming through. Their academy is incredible.
The Chisholm boys.
And ring fencing would certainly help that. And on that, Dan Mugford is watching on our Facebook live stream.
Yeah.
And this is a guy that played for Nottingham. He's come up to the Premiership. Yep. And Nottingham were very ambitious when he was there. And he played elsewhere in the Championship as well.
Plymouth, did he play?
Possibly, anyway. He said he thinks ring fencing would probably be safer for a lot of clubs, but it's very sad and hard for a lot of good players playing in the Championship. I completely agree. And as we've talked about, again, another thing, we've talked about a lot of quality players having come from the Championship and established themselves in the Premiership. Anyway.
Let's talk about the Harlequins game, actually. Because I know we don't want to do each game one after the other, but this was maybe the game of the weekend.
Vissa?
Woo!
What a try!
I tell you what, this game was awesome. Absolutely awesome. I only watched the extended highlights, but you kind of get a feeling of what went on.
You get a pretty good... If you watch the 20-odd minute one that BT put out,
you get a pretty good
idea of what's happened in that game.
Gloucester. I don't know where to start with that. Why don't we start with Gloucester? So many times this year, Billy Burns has done really, really
this year,
well.
Sorry, this year. Do you mean Gloucester's year?
That's next year. But Billy Burns has been not a revelation. We all knew he was pretty good, but he's had some really, really good games. And I think this was another one where he was particularly good.
Yeah.
They were 17 points ahead, I think, with about 15 minutes to go. It looked like they couldn't possibly lose. They conspired to throw this game away. I mean, you could not imagine.
I could definitely imagine Gloucester doing that. that's the problem.
There's a point. Halifanua hits, I think it's Visser, absolutely smashes him, dislodges the ball, penalty. Billy Byrne steps up. He's nailed 15 from 15, in this streak. And you think, there is no way Gloucester can possibly lose. And then they just fall to pieces. And it's got to be mental. It has to be mental, because they're good enough.
Yep.
And you see the performance week in, week out. There's just something...
Well, no, you don't. You don't.
Oh, no, well, no, you do.
You do, but for parts of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So you'll see that you'll 30 minutes.
Yeah, 30 minutes of brilliance and then 50 minutes of abject weakness. Yeah.
Well, it's Laurie Fish has had enough, potentially. That tweet that he put out, I saw that, and there was only a couple of retweets at the time, and I went, hey, what am I?
That is a weird tweet,
isn't
it? And
then Gloucester have come out and said, we're aware of the tweet, we will put out a statement in due course. So he appeared to resign on social media, which is a first, describing the teams as a capitulation, and he was taking full responsibility. Now, I like coaches who take responsibility and don't try and shift blame and all the rest of it, but I'm not sure I would want to level this at Hibs, because as you've talked about, the team got themselves in a position from which they should never lose.
He's clearly a good man. Maybe he's just not a head coach. Maybe he's better off, he's in his old role as a forwards coach.
Well, let's go back to it. Like, does a head coach cause that?
Yeah, I think probably.
Hey, he can take responsibility for an element of it, but that is not that in itself. Is not a reason to give up your job, I don't think.
I mean, if it's a one-off game, maybe the players can be blamed, but this is a...
It's happened right from the start of the season when they were leading by 20 points against Leicester.
And it's not a cheap team. That's the thing. It isn't cobbled together. There's a lot of thought that's gone into building this squad. They've got a lot of big names in there. They've spent money on people like James Hook. I don't even think James Hook played, actually. Richard Hibbard, another big name, got yellow carded. Part of it has to be players, but he is right. I think he's very honourable in taking the blame. It's not all his fault, but I think the majority can be placed.
They've still got the potential to finish seventh, get a playoff through the back door into Champions Cup.
It's not really good enough, though, is it, for their fan base and how big that club is?
No. I think you're probably right, but I'm just saying at this point in the season, it seems a strange move. So we'll watch that one in progress. But they were poor. Quinns, on the other hand, were great.
Yeah, which is very is worth, and the way they came back into it. You got something, Jay?
No.
Okay. Those two late tries from the Chisholm boys, who both looked really good, I thought. And then, so, James Lang.
RGC?
RGC.
You didn't ding Jamie when you Lang. Said Sale earlier. Do a ding for Sale.
Sale?
So,
Talk H.
So, he converted the first Chisholm try with 5 minutes to go. And the second Chisholm try, which was kickable, he tucks the conversion with 3 minutes to go.
Misses it.
And fluffs it.
Yep.
Yeah, and misses it. And you think, that's it. It's over.
They can't possibly win it now.
They cannot possibly. And then it was a scrum penalty, wasn't it?
Yeah. And so
Quinns winning a scrum penalty.
It's amazing. It was an amazing, amazing game.
And he slots it. Brilliant.
I do feel bad for Gloucester. Halifax have played well. Like, they were attacking from underneath their own posts. But they scored.
Quinns a win on the road, showing really amazing resolve. Yeah, there's some twists and turns yet in this league, and for top six places for certain.
Why don't we touch on Sale very quickly and
very quickly, because that's kind
awful
of
awful game.
The only thing
I'm going to say about this, right? Awful game. Jamie Gibson was outstanding. He was everywhere. Stephen Myler, the much maligned Stephen Myler.
Yeah, it was great.
It was very good.
Exactly the kind of guy Sale could do with.
The last one I'd say is Malinder. When you see him in the flesh, is a different calibre to everyone else on his team. Now, if he is really allowed to go elsewhere, which I'll be surprised, because...
Why would they?
Because that's been the rumour. Mm. There was a rumour a few weeks ago. But that is the future England 12. Everything he does is so classy. His running is classy. Good distribution. His kicking was very... it was also very good. That guy has to be the future. And what is he, 21 maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, he still looks like Luke Charteris in his early days.
Yeah, Northampton, it's not beyond the realms of possibility. Again, Bath have got their players to come back and it'll be a different Bath team and they've still got the cushion of points. But what's that, four in a row for Northampton?
And they're 4 points off the top four.
4 points off the top four.
Is that
four?
Right?
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
That is correct.
On the flip side, we were talking about Laurie Fisher describing his side as capitulation. And we're talking about, coaches carrying the can and stuff. Steve Diamond said his team were out-enthused.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
he's
if you're
furious.
Yeah, I know, but if your team is out-enthused, as we've talked about before, skills are things you can work on. Effort, you can't change that.
Well, this is the worst.
So if you're sending out a team that isn't, in your opinion, even giving an effort, and I think Sale fans would probably agree with that as well, that they weren't even making the required effort.
They weren't good. I mean, they were batting the line out, they're batting the drive.
But what I'm saying is, and I don't know the ins and outs of the Sale club, but that suggests to me something a little bit worrying deep down within that squad. And one little statistic would be looking at Josh Beaumont's record as captain. It is not good.
Mm. No, well,
I'm not saying he's not a good leader. I'm just saying the statistics, whether there's a relationship between the two and it means something, I don't know. But
yeah,
him as captain and their record of wins losses is
so Beaumont,
quite bad.
Okay, so post-match, Diamond, I was at the press conference and he was scathing about a couple of lads. And in particular, he mentioned his lads. He said, there's a couple of lads out there, if they want to play at the highest level, they've got nothing coming. Or, you know, words to that effect. He substituted Haley about 10 minutes into the second half. And as for Beaumont, I mean, I think he's been affected by England more than anything else. England had him down as a lock. He was playing at lock. He becomes ineffective. He's moved back to the back row now.
England didn't have him as a lock.
Yeah, they did.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did.
No, he got in the England squad when Ben Morgan and Nathan Hughes were out, I'm sure.
Yeah, no.
He was number eight.
Believe you me, England wants him as a lock, which is why...
Well, but that's not what we said. He was in the England squad as a number eight.
Well, my understanding was they wanted him as a lock. But, okay, maybe... whichever. The word from up high is they want him as a lock, which is why he moved there. But I agree, completely ineffective. When you watch someone like TJ Ioane play, far better ball carrier this season than Beaumont's been. Mm.
I just think it hints at something. Well, it hints at whether or not there is or not. We'll wait to be seen. But when a director of rugby, like even more than going, we lost and we were really poor, a director of rugby coming out and saying we were out enthused would have a massive alarm bell going in my head.
It's very disappointing from a Sale perspective.
Yeah, it's disappointing. I won't work.
Just one thing, because I think we've talked about this game long enough.
Yeah.
But so I only watched the highlights a few minutes. The first Northampton try came from a bomb that they put onto Denny, and he did not handle it.
Yeah, I don't remember that actually.
Yeah, where they scored in the left hand corner.
Yeah.
For them attacking, bomb went up and Denny just in and around the edge of his 22, and he looked like he had no idea what to do with it. Didn't take it, fumbled it. Northampton pick up, and a few phases later they crashed over. I was going to ask, was that a tactic that they employed throughout the game to see if they could kind of isolate him with the bombs?
I'm not sure if that in particular was a tactic, but there was a ton of kicking
because it was
a ton of smart kicking
because it was not great conditions, was it?
Shall we move on? Last one.
What, no, can I tell you something really more disturbing than anything we've talked about? Something really disturbing.
American Civil War.
More disturbing than bubbling and...
sex acts with dogs.
Yeah.
Ooh. More troubling than Murad Boujalal saying there's a widespread cocaine situation in the top 14.
Okay.
Was it? No, it wasn't him that said that. It was someone that said that.
He did say...
Oh, he did say that.
Boujalal said that.
But anyway, more worrying than that, Exeter Chiefs have stopped cock tapping.
What?
Exeter Chiefs have stopped cock tapping.
No, we need do that. Maybe they do it in private.
Initial video footage suggests that they have stopped the cock tap.
This sounds like a ridiculous thing to think, but I was on the train. I was on the train and it just popped into my head. I popped in my head and went, I haven't seen Exeter cock tap.
I thought you were going to say something else. And I thought you were going to say, I was on the train and it's something really good. I was like, oh, I don't have a mate to tap my... Oh, never mind. Never mind.
But,
Excuse me, mate.
Phil, you're right. We've had a look at the tries from their fantastic win on Friday night.
Against Leicester?
Leicester. We said it last week about the turnaround for Exeter. That win was magnificent against Leicester.
It really was. To go to Leicester.
And everyone was predicting Leicester to sneak it.
To score a penalty try from a rolling maul away at Leicester.
This team is so incredibly good.
Yeah,
They are so competent. I know it's a boring, horrible word to use for them, but that's exactly what they are.
No, I'd say, like, as much as anything, they're all very good players and they're very competent. You're right, that is a good word to use. They're solid, but their organisation and their Exeter will never be out enthused. They might be beaten by a better team. They will never be out enthused.
Yeah. I think that's where they're going to fall down. I think the lack of absolute top end talent will cost them a trophy again. And that's how they're going to win, by having that amazing organisation, that amazing competency, and then a little bit of stardust on top of that.
But let's talk about the big issue from that game. Kai Horseman did a great charge down, scored under the sticks to get Exeter back after Rizzo had given them the lead. No cock tap.
Yeah.
First man there did not tap his cock.
And that's disappointing, isn't it?
It's really an outrage.
Yeah.
I'd say that's a culture problem.
If you're an Exeter fan, can you confirm that the cock tap is gone, or was this just a one-off, or is it a superstition that they don't like it on Welford Road, but it's in force at other times?
Well, just from a strict rugby point of view, I'll tell you the most impressive part of this game, and the turning point as far as I was concerned. Leicester are on the front foot. They get a penalty. They go to the corner. It's a yellow card to Parling.
Yeah,
and then in the blink of an eye, not only have Exeter turned it over, but they've basically played no rugby for the next 5 minutes. They dealt with that yellow card. Oh, and they scored. They dealt with that yellow card as well as I've ever seen anyone deal with a yellow card.
Yeah.
They're just an incredibly well-organised, incredible outfit, actually.
They were brilliant. Absolutely superb. And it's a hell of a place to go and win. So question marks on this Leicester revival and the major revival remain, because they had a couple of good wins, and that now to be smashed at home. Because I was kind of backing Leicester.
I thought they had a plan, and I thought I couldn't work out what that plan was watching it, but I thought they had a plan.
Yeah,
and if they score that driving line out, it's a different
game.
It
changes.
But
Like,
no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
So there you go.
They were outstanding. Just let's have a little interlude with some messages from our Facebook live feed, and you can tweet at Rugby Podcast, of course. You can watch this video, see us. Well, firstly, I'm getting lots of compliments on this Bath jersey. That's not because I support Bath, by the way. I went to Bath University, and my brother played, and so this was one of his shirts, and it's a match day shirt. Anyway, this is like the Danny Grucock era. But no, because I'm wearing mustard chinos as well. Which I wore at the rec yesterday, obviously, because I was working there.
Totes offs.
Also, question here, are those socks officially licensed Jaguares socks, JB?
What, sorry?
Are your socks officially licensed Jaguares socks, says Martin Bell?
No, they're not, but they should be.
When we were talking about ring fencing, it has been pointed out that we're going, oh, so you're describing an English Pro 12.
I guess
a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you can have... forget it, I'm not going to get into that. Good. one last thing. If you've managed to get this far, I think you are deserving of this opportunity, which is you need to design us. We're not rebranding, are we?
No, we're not rebranding. We're ever-evolving.
Yes, ever-evolving. We want a club crest.
Well, let's just rewind from where we are. We're sat in a beautiful studio that has been built in JB's basement.
Mm-hmm.
We started
in my honour.
We started at a kitchen table. We started at a kitchen table. And
we started
then,
in a £600,000 studio team.
Yeah, and then
then a kitchen table,
and then sneaking into a radio studio that we shouldn't really be in, and sneaking back out again without setting the alarm off. And we're here right now. And the next phase in our evolution is a club crest, like you said.
Yeah, so we've got our little Egg Chasers badge, which you see on the podcast, the little cover art, but we want an actual club crest. Now, my idea for that, and you tell me what you guys would like, this is what I would like. I want something classy and traditional, like the traditional Leicester crest or the traditional Gloucester crest.
Well, I think you need to give a bit of direction on what goes on it, because they involve animals and things like that.
Yeah, animals and a bit of Latin.
We have had people getting in touch telling us what the Latin for let the boys play is.
It's got to be impossible to draw from memory like other club crests.
Yes, yeah, intricate detail.
Yeah, intricate detailing. So anyway, the reason I'm telling you this is because I want you to design it for us. Whoever does design it will obviously be immortal, because it'll go on the JB Cup as well. And it will also be the new crest for the podcast, be our cover art, go on ties, that sort of thing. So if you want to design Egg Chasers Club crest, we've already had, what, 5 or 6 entries?
We've had more than that. We've had some fantastic entries already. You don't have to be a graphic designer.
But it does help.
But you might know someone that is. We can offer lots of stash. We can say the first time we do a pressing of an official shirt or official tie using this new crest, you will get complimentary stuff. We can offer loads of other stash. I mean, look around the Rugby Dungeon. You can see we've got connections. We can get you hooked up. And, as JB said, immortality.
More importantly.
Yeah,
yes.
More importantly. So do get in touch. We want a club crest. So watch this one with... what are you doing now?
Nothing.
Back to the games.
We've done them all.
What have we not touched on?
Well, we've not touched on
Pro 12
Saracens Newcastle.
Oh no, we haven't, have we?
I've not actually seen it.
Well, let's take a little Pro 12 interlude then, because again, we have poured scorn on the Pro 12 for how it is only during this Six Nations window.
Well, and other times as well.
Zebra v Dragons at any time is not a spectacle particularly worth watching. Treviso or what I've just said.
Edinburgh.
Treviso, Edinburgh, for example. That's not been good at any time, but during the Six Nations when so many players are away. But I just want to shine a light on Leinster for a second, because their performance, their amount of points they're scoring in this period, one of the teams most affected by international call-ups, their backup squad is outstanding.
That is a great squad, isn't it?
Their whole organisation is outstanding. It doesn't surprise me that much because they signed so well. And like, there was a tweet that sent to us, or sent out read, which is going to list, or it does list, their back row options for next year, including Scott Fardy.
Scott Fardy! Oh.
I mean, it's like seven international-ish class back row. It's Conan, Van der Fleer, Levy. Those are the small names. But then you add in Heaslip, O'Brien, Fardy.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. They are a ridiculous, ridiculous organisation in the good sense of the word.
Yes, very much so. So they smashed Scarlets. A Scarlet side who's had a couple of good results recently as well.
The Scarlets can play rugby, and they can play good rugby when everyone's fit.
Now, I've not seen much of this track. Have you seen the Fox application?
And the Fox?
The Fox, which...
As in John Fox Davis?
Or as in the crack fox from Super Rugby?
Neither.
No.
As in the Fox, which I've seen used to describe the Italian tactic from last weekend.
Is that what it's called?
I've seen it be called that a couple of times.
Okay. By the way, I know I've got the rule change to defeat this. But go on.
Well, do you see what happened?
No.
So, no rook formed. Leinster in their own 22, and so I think it was a prop who was in the guard position, and he very astutely realized that there was no rook formed. So he just ran from his guard position to stand in between the 9 and the 10 to block the clearing kick. And so the 9 just picked up and ran in the hole he left and made 30 yards.
Yep, that's exactly what you should do. So I've got an actual law for this. I'm going to save it for next podcast, but I'll give it to you now. In fact, no, I'll give it to you next podcast, so you best listen.
All right, yeah, listen to the next
podcast.
What a
tease.
Hit that subscribe button and then you'll get it all. Just on the... Because Leicester, you talked about the major revival. I would suggest that Leicester will already be in quite advanced situations with potential new directors of rugby, and they may have already decided Aaron Major's probably not going to be their man. What's his name? Laurie Fisher could be off, it seems, from Gloucester. So who, just throw some names in the hat, who would you throw in?
For which club?
Either.
So for Gloucester, it's Philippe Saint-André, although apparently he's with Cameroon at the moment, which is a weird one. That seems like a logical fit if the Ultrad stuff goes ahead.
Do you think that is a...
I think it's a terrible move, but I think it's a logical move.
Okay, with Ultrad, because so his Montpellier is just building the biggest possible pack and team you can...
Yeah, and hear me now, believe me later, this simply won't work in a salary cap age. So good luck trying that. It's a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Matt O'Connor is... I was trying to think Leicester, I think that'd be a great fit because he's got history with Leicester.
Yeah, and they do like
people who've got history with the club, as Aaron Major has.
How about Dean Richards? I know he said no, but the heart wants what it wants.
That would be great, he's doing an amazing job because he's doing a great
First
job.
Signing would be Gonover.
Sonotti. Oh, Gonover. Gonover had just a naughty, filthy little cheeky game. Yeah. He's like he was described as. I saw,
so cheeky.
I saw a tweet to us describing him as Gonover is like a man busting out of a cake at a birthday party.
Very good.
Also, we did get a tweet saying, "Is it slightly? Does it show slight desperation for England?" And we'll talk about this more in the midweek podcast as well. But is it slight desperation for England that so much is being made of Billy Vunipola playing a game of rugby for Saracens?
No, because he's the best number eight in the world. So, I mean, if he's not, he's top three best eight in the world, isn't he? So,
yeah, he's definitely top three.
You know, the national team are playing, and their prize asset, and it's not desperation, he's good enough to get into any team in the world. So that is why people are interested.
Mako Vunipola had a really good game for Saracens. He has got this ingenious little thing. I don't know whether it's just a tactic to take a knee, but he has his contact lens. He keeps when he's really, really blowing, you watch, Mako Vunipola's contact lens quite often comes out just after a really intense period of play, which it did in the Newcastle Saracens game.
It's a good tactic.
Clever.
Solid. Very smart. And just Sinotti, I just don't know how that man is physically possible. Just what he does with that body shape. But, there you go. We have wrapped up all the rugby to talk about domestically.
Quick mention of Ulster.
Oh, yeah, your pride, Ulster, man.
What happened at Ulster?
I can't imagine either of you saw this game.
No, we didn't.
Ulster hosted the mighty Benetton Treviso and only managed to score three tries, 19-7, because it was dreadful conditions.
Yeah, right.
Waterlogged, awful pitch. So, unfortunately, didn't get the bonus point, which is actually quite a big loss to not get a bonus point against an Italian team at home.
Yeah, it says a lot, doesn't it? That's basically... That basically is a loss, because...
Yeah, it almost is.
Rather than four points gained.
And that 1 point would have put them into the top four, but now they're currently fifth.
Oh, dear. Oh dear! Right, let's wrap this up and do other things.
Actually, did either of you see any of the Super Rugby? So I mentioned the Lua Tour.
Oh, you know, I've got one thing I want to discuss with this one. So last week, you know, we discovered. I was basically said, right, well, that's it. I'll follow the Brumbies because they're one of the few teams that don't seem to have a ridiculous hashtag with every tweet. The most ridiculous of all of them, because I did a bit of research, and there's so many of these stupid hashtags. Canterbury Crusaders. Try and guess what their hashtag is that they put with loads of their tweets.
Okay, Canterbury Crusaders.
You won't guess it.
Our Crusade.
Ride on or something like that.
Oh, that's good.
That would be good. Although it sounds slightly sexual.
Yeah.
It's got to be something like together. It's got to be so contrived.
Yeah.
Like together us. It means nothing, but it could do.
Yeah.
Right.
Go
so
on.
Canterbury Crusaders. Think of their crest, you know, you've got the
sword. You've got the sword, yeah.
Sword.
The warrior.
Aloft, the warrior, you've got the, you know.
The crusader.
Something to do with a crusade, you know, a crusader. It is hashtag super boom boom.
Well, so that is
is that not Canterbury?
It's not Crusaders. That is actually the Super Rugby, or certainly the New Zealand Super Rugby branding.
Get out of it. Right, well, they're all dead
to me. Have you not seen the Super Boom Boom advert?
Super Boom Boom, all of the New Zealand sides are dead to me now, good as they are. I'm not having it.
The Super Boom Boom advert, it's actually quite good fun. It's very cheesy and poppy, but it's quite a good fun advert. So, friend of the podcast, Mammoth.
Oh, yeah, the guy I used to live with.
Yes. Oh, well, yeah, your former housemate. There you go.
Is this it?
This is it.
I
want me to tell him.
I quite like it.
Is that the Super Boom Boom
This
music?
Is the Super Boom Boom advert, yeah. Crank it.
So, some guy DJing. Lots of women in it.
There are you're right. It is a New Zealand one because it said, Hurricanes make it two convincing wins in 2 weeks with a 71-6 drubbing of Melbourne Rebels. Hashtag Super Boom Boom.
Yeah.
Well, the Aussie teams did not have a good week, did they? They got pumped.
Well, so I was going to say, so... just on Crusaders to hopefully make you like New Zealand teams slightly more.
I'm into it.
He was at the Crusaders game 2 weeks ago, and their pre-match entertainment, they actually got four men dressed in full Crusader regalia, on horses,
yeah,
doing laps of the pit.
Awesome.
I've seen that a few times, actually. Can I just say
about the 2,000 fans there must have loved it.
Can I just say about the Super Boom Boom video? Love it. Lots of men flexing their arms.
Oh, yeah, well, Super Boom Boom video is fine, but the hashtag, putting the hashtag Super Boom Boom with every New Zealand side's game, come on. Has that not worn thin at all for anyone?
Hang on. Just listen.
Fan engagement.
Listen. Isn't this the tune that happens before Blade destroys the whole nightclub?
Have you seen the Hurricanes special edition tour jersey and all the players doing little... Have you seen this? Look at the moves they're doing. Can you be more...
Oh, my beloved Canes can do what they want.
It's like...
That's not rugby, Matt.
It's like someone dropped a VHS of hip-hop onto Anglesey. If Anglesey was not connected to the mainland, it never had been. And it kind of developed in its own way.
It's culture, brew.
Yeah.
You brew.
Bizarre.
The Hurricanes can do whatever the hell they want. Have you seen their last two results?
Yes. Well, I only saw the highlights. There's only so much rugby I can watch. I thought 4 games this weekend is enough. One of them been live. And I did watch a little bit of Super Rugby. I can't remember what happened. It all merges to one.
Hurricanes points difference 2 games into the season.
Yep.
Plus 131.
Hurricanes. Right, so I'm thinking Crusaders. Yeah.
Points difference plus 131, 2 games in.
Have they played?
Admittedly, they have played the Sunwolves in Japan.
Crack Foxes.
But then they hosted the Rebels. But this is actually probably more concerning slightly because someone actually tweeted us to say, is Super Rugby becoming the new Pro 12?
Yeah.
With some of the disparity between the teams.
I agree with that. There's just too much of a drop-off in standard.
And it's very interesting. So you think New Zealand teams are all streets ahead. So last weekend, the Blues put 50 points on the Rebels, who Hurricanes put 70 points on the Rebels this week. But the Blues had 40 points put on them by the Chiefs. So even within New Zealand, there's some disparity. So the Chiefs and the Crusaders are just... They're unbelievable.
See, the thing is, I watched Castleford on Thursday. by the way, things are looking up for sale next year. Did you see the Castleford result?
I don't care.
Oh, mate.
I don't care.
I tell you now, if you watch that, I like rugby league, right? Watch that Castleford game, you would be blown away by how they played. It was...
They destroyed Leeds, didn't they?
Oh, it was astounding. It's on Sky Catch-Up. Go and have a look at it. It is astounding. If you want to know about skill level and how things are executed, it was amazing to watch. Let's finish this podcast.
Okay.
We're on to Castleford.
Us on to Castleford.
Yeah, but we've done a fairly comprehensive job if we're finishing on Castleford.
Damn right. Thank you. If you got this far, thank you very much for listening. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Egg Chasers Podcast on Instagram. I've started learning how it works. And Instagram stories, we've already done a live video before the podcast, but Instagram stories, you can put stuff up that's only there for 24 hours. So I did an in-depth analysis of the BT Sport cheese board at the Bath game. So if you want to see behind the scenes stuff like that, then Egg Chasers Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, where you can watch the video if you haven't already. Thank you very much if you have. We'll have another podcast coming out on Wednesday, which is focused on the Six Nations internationals, our trip to Romania and everything else. Anything else, gents? All good?
Do me a club crest. Cheers.
Boom. Right, thank you for listening.
Super boom boom.
Boom.
Play us out, super boom boom.
Oh, okay. Good idea.
From the start.
Crank it. Okay. I want me tell them. Shake that boom, 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 whoa. Aight, so boom, you know how it goes. Shut down, rave, mash up the stage show. I get high, then I drop it low. Crank it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.